Thank you, Tom. So for those of you who just walked in, we've been doing a bit of an interactive style. For those of you who have been here, this part of the session, we only have half an hour, so we're going to do discussions like in the last format, but they're going to be a bit shorter in nature. So we've developed a tool. We want to provide you a couple of the basic processes addressing a lot of what we've just discussed in the last couple of hours. So I'll just put this up briefly. Several people have already addressed this in multiple ways. When we talk about adaptive management, we're basically talking about the process of refining a management strategy in response to evaluating its success. And interactiveness is part of that. And what's also key is that we're taking our local conditions. It's very much about being site-specific and testing, measuring, and evaluating how our management was working locally, and then applying scientific principles and the experience right there on that farm to evaluate our management and change our management accordingly. We've talked a lot about how the agronomic optimum N rate is rather variable. So for example, in this graph from Mullen et al., we can see, for example, here in 2000 and in 2001, we've got very similar check yields and maximum yields, but the agronomic optimum N rate is less than 50 here, and it's over 200 bushels per acre here. This is something we're seeing across, especially the humid regions, that there's this huge variability, and it's not necessarily tied to yield. What's causing that variability? Well, there's a lot of different sources of variability in nitrogen availability because nitrogen is extremely dynamic, like we've been talking about. So organic matter amendments, of course, are part of that variability. Crop rotations, soil type differences, but also how the soils are changing in response to management. So soil organic matter is very different in, for example, a grain farm that never receives manure versus a dairy farm that receives manure regularly. So how is that organic matter decomposing? How much nitrogen are you getting from that organic matter? We need to account for that. And finally, a really key variable that we're just starting to be able to manage for is the weather, and that's a lot of what our tool is about. The weather has a huge impact on how much nitrogen is available. How does it impact optimum N rate? Well, in the early season, the key is if we have excessive precipitation, we're going to have a lot of soil nitrogen losses, either through leaching or through denitrification. As the soil is saturated, we're going to lose a lot of nitrogen. So then that means we need to have a higher supplemental N rate. We can't really, unfortunately, get around that. I know it's much more convenient to apply all the nitrogen fertilizer up front, but the thing is we cannot accurately know how much we're going to need in the total season because of these beginning season sources of variability due to the weather. Now, the late season is much harder to manage, but the key here is we're much less likely to have losses because late in the season, our corn crop is larger, there's larger evaporative demand, and that corn plant is going to prevent the soil from becoming as saturated. We're much more likely to have issues with drought and therefore unattained yield potential later in the season. This is hard to manage for. The early season effects we can manage if we manage in season, and there are many tools for that. Just to drive that point home a little more, so here's corn nitrogen uptake. And what we see here is that it gets going very slowly in the spring, and it only really hits that rapid uptake phase in the later spring. Now, the key here is we have a critical time period where soil organic matter mineralization is ahead of corn nitrogen uptake. We're building up nitrates in the soil, and if we have a heavy rainfall event, we're going to lose a lot of the nitrogen from soil organic matter that's in the soil, and that's making up part of what we're using that year. So in a normal year, usually maybe 3 out of 4 years in the humid season, in the humid climates, this is how much side dress fertilizer we might need, but in a very wet year, we might actually need a lot more. To be able to manage that variability, that's a key piece of adaptive management for nitrogen because it's so dynamic. So what I'm gonna have you guys do is at your tables, discuss in which of these 2 years, A or B, will nitrogen losses be greater and crop nitrogen stress be more likely? We've got 2 seasons, A and B, where the total season precipitation is very similar. But the key here is in the springtime, in year A, we have less. And in July and August, so the later season, we have more rainfall. In year B, in May and June, we have a lot more of that rain, and then we have less of it later in the season. So turn to your group and just for maybe a minute or two, discuss in which of these years we'll have greater losses and when we have more likelihood of crop nitrogen stress. We're getting a consensus of B. So just to go back real quickly to this slide, if we have higher rainfall here, we're going to lose nitrates that are already built up. If we have higher rainfall here, this corn is growing very fast. It's drawing water out of the soil. That means the soil is less likely to get saturated, and so we're less likely to lose nitrates by either denitrification or leaching losses. So in this scenario, our optimum yields were very similar in these 2 years because overall they were pretty similar in terms of growing degree days, the amount of rainfall, but the key here is our optimum N rate here was 100 kilograms per hectare. Our optimum N rate in the year when we got a lot more rainfall during that critical period in the spring was 175 kilograms per hectare. That's a pretty huge difference for years that have the pretty exact same rainfall during the growing season. And this is why it's so important to adaptively manage nitrogen in season, because we can't predict when we're planting corn what's going to happen during these months. We just can't. We would really like to be able to, because then we'd never have to deal with side dress. But if it's about paying for an extra 75 kilograms or not, losing that yield or not, maybe that's worth it to a grower, but the thing is the grower needs to understand these kinds of dynamics and why they're important before they're going to take the risk to do something different from what they've been told for years.
Just a point, go back. Now, your assumption is that the difference is due to loss. That may not be true. It may be just due to higher water contents that's reduced your mineralization, and therefore you have not accumulated the nitrogen in that high rainfall system. Mineralization is related to your oxygen content. And so you've made the assumption that you've made the loss and therefore your end rates are higher.
We can actually model this. So it takes it and goes into the next slide. The nice thing is we have a model. You'll hear a lot more about it a little bit later. It's a really great point. There's a lot of different processes we need to take into account. Now the mineralization, oxygen certainly is a part of that. The temperature is certainly a part of that. We have a model, the precision nitrogen management model, which we've put behind a web-based decision tool that you'll hear about. With this model, in these two scenarios, here's what we came up with. Here is soil nitrogen as nitrate in the root zone. In year B, we had a lot at the beginning of the season, but then we had a lot of heavy rainfall that we sort of totaled up in May and June. A lot of it came in large events. And we see a drastic drop of nitrates in the root zone. And so by the time side dress comes around, in this scenario, we have 30, 40 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. That's not enough nitrogen to get that corn crop through the rapid growth phase. So in this scenario, we're ending up deficient if we're only applying 100 kilograms per hectare, which is what we modeled here. In this scenario, and remember, 100 kilograms per hectare was the economic optimum. And so we were still accumulating some from organic matter, and then we started getting uptake from the crop, and it's slowly going downward. So by about the end of rapid corn growth, we didn't have much left in the soil. So this is the kind of differences that we're getting here. I'm going to move on to the next discussion. There's a lot of different tools we can use for adaptively managing. We have pre-season tools. So for example, a pre-plant soil nitrate test. There are also various potentially mineralizable nitrogen tests, various incubation tests, the ISNT, the Solvita paddles. There's a lot of different tests out there. These are pre-season tests, so you take a sample before you plant. There are several in-season tests that are available. There's the PSNT that most of us are familiar with. There are various leaf canopy reflectance sensing technologies that are coming up. And there's the model, AdaptN, that you'll hear more about. These all can be used as in-season tools. Finally, we have end-of-season tools, like, for example, the late-season stock nitrate test. And again, models, we have AdaptN. So retrospective analysis. So the question here now is, what are the valuable pieces of information that you can gain at each of these time points? And even more key, we need to understand what information we cannot gain at each of these time points in terms of our management. So go ahead and discuss each of these three in your groups, and you'll have a little bit more time on this one.
Sorry I have to bring you back out of this very exciting discussion. I know this is one that we could probably discuss for 20 minutes. In terms of the preseason tests, which group would like to take a stab at that one? What information do we get? What information do we not get preseason? Who would like to?
For the preseason, you get the nitrogen availability before you plant your corn. And then the information you get is how much nitrogen is available at that time. And but the information it doesn't get is how much nitrogen is gonna be available later in the season. Especially like after spring, rainfall, and wash off all the nitrogen.
Very good. Does anybody else want to add something to that?
Actually, we didn't do what you all asked us to do. what we were looking at, because we represent a very wide range of geographic and crop locations, is that some of these tests work for some of the folks sitting around this table, and many of these tests do not work for us at all. And so, in fact, when you look at the kinds of tests available or even the types of models available, you have to look at your own cropping season to see whether they're even appropriate. So you can discern whether a pre, am, or end of season makes any sense for your cropping.
It's a very good point. So again, it goes back to that local adaptation of the various things that are out there. Let's move on to the in-season tests. What information do we gain? What information do we not gain from these different tools? Thoughts on that? No thoughts on that? Somebody's got to have a thought on that one. The PSNT, what information do we gain? What does it tell us?
Well, the PSNT tells us what's there right before the big demand occurs. It gives us a little better indication of the potential mineralization. 6 weeks of mineralization going on and losses going on, so just an indication of losses in that early season period.
So it incorporates some of the weather at least, right? Because most of the time, by the time we take that test, hopefully we've had a bunch of that really heavy rainfall kind of weather. Any other thoughts?
It doesn't tell you if there'll be a disaster later on.
That is very true. It doesn't tell you whether the day after you sample, you're going to get a 3-inch rainfall event, and you're going to lose that nitrate that you just measured. Other thoughts?
I'm from a drought area, and the catheter reflectance sensing works really well in environments where nitrogen is limiting, but it doesn't work well where water is limiting.
That's a very good point. So that goes to some of the late season impacts of weather. In some areas, especially in humid areas, the most limiting thing tends to be heavy rainfalls early in the season. In more dry land areas, we would need some way to account for those late season effects because drought is much more likely. So let's briefly move on to the end of season effects.
Basically, at the end season, probably could be looked at, in my mind, in terms of a mitigation standpoint. If you have excess nitrate, water quality concerns, what do you need to do to mitigate cover crops? If you're in a dry land situation, that's not such an issue. So it also allows you to start setting up for the next crop year.
Great point. So again, we need a lot of that local specific adaptation. Do we need a cover crop back here because we have extra nitrogen left over? Any other thoughts? I'm going to move on because I think we don't have a whole lot of time. So,
Okay, so I'm going to actually skip through these. We just discussed a lot of that. So what we've developed is a tool that allows us to model a lot of these effects that's especially relevant to the humid regions. So we have a model that combines high-resolution climate data with a really easy-to-use interface that can actually be run in the field on a smartphone if you want or on your home computer. Individual users can use it, crop consultants can use it for their growers. And basically the way it looks is we have our high-resolution climate data. It's currently available for the Northeast and Iowa, and within the next year or so, we're going to make it available for much of the Midwest. We're basically hoping to expand it to humid regions. That high-resolution climate data allows us to manage fields specifically. Now, these data made available through the Northeast Regional Climate Center are key to making our model run on a field-specific basis. Here's the stakeholders, any of you guys. You would put in model inputs that I'll show you in a moment about a specific field that's uploaded to a web service to the Precision Nitrogen Management model, which then sends the coordinates to this SQL server to get the high-resolution climate data that's appropriate for that scenario. It runs the scenario, and it then provides a side dress recommendation and actually a lot more information than that to the grower. And I just want to put this up there again. You've seen slides like this before. 2007 versus 2009 in Iowa, huge differences in rainfall and huge differences across very short distances. So maybe within about 10 miles, you can have a difference of 8 inches of rainfall over a 30-day period. So the user inputs that go into this, a lot of soil information, longitude and latitude to get the high-resolution climate data, texture, drainage, field slope, those kinds of things. A really key important piece here is soil organic matter content, because how much organic matter you have influences how much nitrogen you're going to mineralize. Organic inputs, a lot of different manure application inputs are possible, previous sod crops, whether soybeans were planted the year before, and then fertilizer and crop inputs, so starter fertilizer, additional fertilizer, maturity, class, and planting date, and very importantly, expected yield, because the grower knows their field best, and they're most likely to know, oh, I got some things washed out, or I planted kind of late, or I planted really early, I think the season is going to go well. So the grower has some control over this. The expected yield is what we then use, because a certain amount of nitrogen will be in a crop of a certain yield amount. Here's the interface. It's a tabbed interface. Here are the input fields, so mineral nitrogen information, cultivar information. You can put various fields into this. Once you have an account, it saves them for you. And once you've entered all of your information through these various tabs, you run the model on the server. You don't need to know anything fancy. You don't have to do all those calculations in your head, luckily. You get your user inputs back, so you can check them. It's good for data keeping. And here's your side dress recommendation at the end, in mid-season. More importantly than that, not only do you get a side dress recommendation, but you have a way to figure out why that side dress recommendation might be really surprising. Geez, I thought I was going to have to apply 120. Why is it only 70? Well, there's a lot of different information that you can click on here. And for example, you'll get something like this cumulative rainfall graph, where here you see a whole lot of rainfall happening toward the end of May. And this was in 2009. it will show you how much nitrogen was lost from the root zone because of that rainfall event. So this allows you to understand why the side dress recommendation is what it is and allows you to make some of your own assessments and learn from it so that you can change your management, both in season and think about the processes more during future seasons. At the end of the season, this tool is really great for looking at what happened kind of scenarios. So for example, in Iowa in 2010, a normal growing season is 19 inches of rainfall. In 2010, in this particular location, we got 32 inches. And right during the critical time period, they got 19 inches of rainfall, where the normal is 8. So that was a lot of extra heavy rainfall. And if this is where you would want a side dress, it tells you right before that you probably lost a lot. We can look at that. And right here, we have a scenario with pre-plant anhydrous ammonia and with only starter, where it was applied as side dress later. So in the pre-plant scenario, we see we put on all this fertilizer, then we got a lot of rainfall. By the time of side dress on this field, we only had about 90 pounds left, not quite enough to get through the season. If this farmer had this problem, ran out of nitrogen, they might run a what-if scenario and say, geez, what if I had put it on at side dress? How would I have come out? And if they had only put on starter, it would have been really low right about at side dress. They put on that side dress fertilizer, and even though there were still some losses because it was an extremely wet season, you see that overall throughout the season there was more nitrogen available. So last question to you guys, and then I'll take a few moments to write it, to wrap that up. You see these two graphs. This is 2009, this is 2010. We have a dairy scenario. They applied manure in April. In 2009 or 2010, which year had the wet spring, which had the normal spring, and was there excess nitrogen applied? So go ahead and discuss that in your groups.
So I realize that these numbers are a little small and from the back of the room they're hard to see, and that we're not giving you very much time to discuss all this. Ideally, you would do this kind of thing when you have a whole hour with growers, where you have a little more time to go into these dynamics so that they can really get a good understanding of these dynamics. Just quickly, which season had the wet spring? 2009, right? 2009, we had put on all this manure up front, and yet by the time side dress came around, we only had about 30 pounds of nitrogen left in the root zone. So this season, we lost over 100 pounds of nitrogen. Would have been plenty of nitrogen for that grower if we hadn't had that wet spring. So the more normal season, of course, was 2010. Now, was there excess nitrogen? Was there excess nitrogen applied in either of these scenarios? Is there a right answer to that one? Sort of a grappling kind of question, right? I mean, was it excess? Well, you can't tell in advance. Kind of hard to apply manure later on. But what we do know is, I guess you can't really see the pointer on there. What we do know is at the end of the season in 2010, we had about 100 pounds of nitrogen left in the soil in 2010 when we didn't have that wet rain event. So in 2010, we kind of had too much nitrogen. We didn't know that in advance. Should have applied less manure if we could manage that. In 2009, we didn't have enough nitrogen and that crop came up deficient. So that shows you something about these kinds of dynamics and the fact that in 2009, we really would have wanted to apply some side dress. In 2010, we certainly didn't need any side dress. So a couple of applications just to wrap things up. I don't really have much time. A couple of ways to use this tool. It can be used for side dress nitrogen recommendations, but we realize that that's difficult for a lot of growers because they don't have that equipment. It could be used for rescue and application rates if you have high clearance side dress equipment available. So, oh no, we just lost a bunch. Can we quickly go in and add a little more? In manure fields, like what we just looked at, we can say, are we gonna need to go in and add some extra this year, or are we gonna be okay? We can say at the end of the season, are we going to need cover crops to soak up some of these extra 100 pounds of nitrogen sitting in the soil so that we're not leaching those? In pre-plant application versus applications at planting, do we have enough in the soil? And then finally, that hind casting
at the end of the season. Was there excess? Was it deficient? What happened? What if I had done something different? It's a learning tool. I'm going to skip over these slides. There's ways to take this to the next level. We could use this side specifically. Basically, organic matter can be measured by VNIR spectroscopy, and we could make those kinds of recommendations using AdaptN, but spatially across a field. Don't have time to go into that right now. Some key summary points. Basically, optimum N rates cannot be predicted accurately at the beginning of the season. It's unfortunate because it's very inconvenient, but that's the fact of it. We are basically managing nitrogen on a plus or minus 50% basis. We don't know if we're going to lose the nitrogen from soil organic matter or not. We're putting it on at pre-plant. We might lose it all or we might not. We really can't know that at the beginning of the season, so we need to manage, especially in humid regions. Nitrogen fertilizer recommendations can be more precise, but of course there's some risk involved. Is the soil so wet that we can't make it into the field? But we can probably take advantage of some of this high clearance equipment that's coming on. End of season measurements are not directly predictive of future years. So in that past slide that I just showed, that dairy farmer at the end of 2009 might have said, geez, I thought I applied enough manure. Maybe next year I'll apply more. And that would be the last message that we would want that farmer to get, because it's not that they didn't apply enough manure in terms of nitrogen, it's just that they lost it all and they might not lose it the next season like we saw there. And finally, simulation models are one way to incorporate all of that complexity. So AdaptN is currently what we have. It's out there. We still need to do some validation of it. We're going to be working on that over the next 2 years. But there's been a lot of work done on experimental farms. We're just now taking it to the field-specific commercial farmer level. And finally, if you would like to try this tool out, here's the website, adaptn.eas.cornell.edu. If you want to try out the tool itself, you need to email Jeff Malconian. The email is here, jjm11@cornell.edu. You can also Google AdaptN Cornell, Adaptive Nitrogen Management Cornell, and it'll come up. And right now it's operational for northeastern US and Iowa, and we're expanding that. And basically eventually to the humid region all the way. So with that, that's